WBDGFM HD1, Indianapolis.
You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go!
It's going to be fourth down, last play of the game, barring a penalty.
It all comes down to this.
Open your action.
Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen jumping up and down, getting everybody into it, one play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
All you seniors! Will you let this be taken away from you? Don't
do it!
No way.
You must go seize the
moment!
It's
going to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis! Touchdown, Ben Davis! The Giants win!
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis Football. I am honored.
When you hit the door, you're a Ben Davis Giant.
This is Ben Davis. We're coming.
And welcome back to another edition of Inside Ben Davis Football on Indy's Giant 90.9. I'm John Easter. On a Tuesday evening here in studio, along with the host of the program, Mr. Bryson Hill. Good evening, Bryson.
Good evening. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Cool. And something we get to talk about tonight is a Friday night victory. The Ben Davis Giants defeat the Lawrence Central Bears 31-30 in a game, I think, that just ended 10 minutes ago.
It did. We just got off the field just now. Yeah, that was a long one.
Yeah, it was. I was looking at the file length, and most of our games this year have been, like 2 hours, 45, 258, so, three out, maybe just a little bit over 3 hours. This one was 3 hours and 45 minutes.
Ooh.
So, yeah, a lot happened, and it didn't go to overtime, so... Nah. Lots to talk about this one, but a victory for the Giants, that's where we start off.
Yeah, for sure. And, congratulations again.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Anything you've noticed changing, even just players' demeanors, because you guys have snapped that losing streak, like just practice-wise, is the whole group to seem more happier or ready to play at all, or is it still kind of the same, or what's kind of the look not practice that you guys pick up the win?
Well, you'd be shocked to hear that there's not been a bad, yes, there might be bad parts of practice or like, oh man, we don't have enough energy at this particular phase or this particular time, this window, or we flatten out too late, towards the end of practice. But no, I was happy with everyone sticking together and how long they've been sticking together. I had to do it and getting even closer. And I felt like, those that had to come in and step up and get some minutes on Friday night and some new roles or just a brand new role, I thought they did a great job. And I'm happy for them. Hats off to them because they earned it. They've been doing the right things to deserve that win.
Yeah, and I want to ask you about the quarterback situation. Obviously, Gabe Kinnett out with that concussion, I believe so. And then, so you start Zarin Collins for the game, the junior, I believe, correct?
Correct.
And then... You end up playing the sophomore, Kenneth Doss, after he makes a few good plays. Was that kind of a split-second decision? Were you like, I like what I'm seeing from Doss, and I'm going to let him start the rest of this game? Or is that kind of you always wanted to do, like, maybe Collins first and second quarter and then Doss to finish it out? Or what kind of happened there?
A great question. We did have packages for both. So we had intended on playing both at some point throughout the night. There were different situations that both the guys were going to take snaps. And then once we got rolling into the second half, High Hand was going to stay in. And then with Kenneth throwing the one just before half, and then Jay rocked it again a little bit in the third quarter and had some completions. It went on Toomer took off, shot off a cannon. I think he picked about 19 yards, one tackle away before breaking that one. But Jay played again in the third, and then when Kenneth came back out in the third quarter, he hit Murphy and then about hit Doss on another one. So it was just more the hot hand in the second half.
Yeah, I got you. I kind of figured that enough. So let's talk about the man who had the hot hand in the receiving wise, Xavion Davis. I mean, he had the huge play over the top. He had the huge screen play. How important was his role to the receiving core, and not just the receiving core, but the offense in general? Because it's hard to stop that man because he is quick, so it's hard to stop the man who gets going. So how important was that on Friday night?
And that's one thing you can tell a lot of the defenses are keying in on him. Carmel was rolling to him, making sure they had one underneath him, one over top of him. They were rolling their coverages to him, rolling things. Took Davion, okay, we're going to try to take him out. You got to throw it to some other receivers. And so, you know, it's on the field. We got a lot of receivers on the field on Friday night. There was an old name from the past, Javier Horton, who had 57 catches already in our program. He picked up his 58th on Friday night. So it's nice to see him come back out there, number 12, making it look easy. So just making sure that there's other weapons as well out there. Like, in our receiver corps is doing a nice job. They're piecing it together through some injuries. Yeah. Cam and Avery piecing together their shoulders and coming back. And so just sparring them a little bit and making sure not all eyes on Davion. But Davion's doing a great job, having a great year.
100%. And you know, this actually wasn't going to be my next question, but you mentioned it, so I'll kind of I'll lead into it a little bit. How helpful it is that you know you can have players that you can trust that can play both sides of the ball, whether it's a receiver and a DB or maybe a linebacker being a running back, whatever the case may be. How does that help, having a player you know you can trust play both ways?
Well, it hijacks a lot of your practice plans, because they do have to practice on both sides of the ball, and both coordinators would like to make sure they have their windows of time with that specific player. And the other backfire is, like, if there is an injury to one player going both ways, you just lost two starters. So you lost his presence on offense and you lost his presence on defense. So once you start to get into the 4A, 5A, 6A, I know a lot of the coordinators, a lot of the head coaches are very apprehensive about playing players both ways. But I've always enjoyed it. I've always think if you can play both ways, you might as well now. Like at college, play your better side. But even last year, we saw Travis Hunter playing both sides. And we see that in the NFL. So, like, it's not as common.
He's the first one to do it in the NFL, too. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, it's not as common once you get up to that level. But, you know, we've gotten – I think Devin Hester did a little bit.
Deion Sanders.
Deion did a little bit. Travis has taken what you're saying, like, significantly. He's taken a good amount of snaps on both sides.
Yeah, Deion played three sides of the ball.
Yes, he did.
He returned kicks, everything.
And then played the World Series.
Yeah, and baseball.
To be fair, we do see that a lot with receivers being kickoff returners.
Correct, and receiver DBs a little bit easier.
Yeah, true. And we said that with, obviously, Kylan, too. He's got that electric speed, and that'll lead.
And he's played defensive back as well. Rob has played both ways. If you're a perimeter guy, it's a little bit easier. Yeah. Receiver DB, some of these guys doing both of those, that's okay. But, like, the going to the next level, playing linebacker, running back, that's,
So, Coach, you had to feel a little bit like Colonel Potter from MASH on Friday night. That's a little bit dated reference there. Yeah, he's like, awesome. I don't know who that is.
Oh, man.
But
I was young when MASH ended.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you might not get it either.
Oh, I get it.
I get it when I was little.
Barely.
You did have a bit of a MASH unit. We were talking going into the game. You had 13 start. I worked hard for that reference.
That was good. Well done.
You mentioned off air that you had 13 starters out. Had you ever experienced anything like that as maybe not as a head coach, but as an assistant coach? It's got to be rare.
13 is probably the highest I've seen it. 2 years ago, we went up there with 11 out, and then Thomas went out in the game.
Yes, I remember that.
That would have been the 12th, but Mark came back at halftime, and he played both ways, so that goes back down to 10. So
right.
Like, 2 years ago was about the most I've seen it when it got to double digits, but I do not recall many times of it being this high. So some of the guys that stepped up and stepped in, they've been close too. They've been ready right there with the job. So there's been the few of the guys that came in, there were three sophomores that played on that field that substantial Friday night minutes for the first time this year, and they all did a nice job. Eli Crawford, Caden Foster, Javon Martin, they all did a great job.
Yeah, and let's go to those balls. You mentioned Kylan, and we were talking about that DB, the returns there, but he's the punter. And let's talk about those two. Really, probably the most important, at least two of the most important plays, really, of the game. They're the first one where it's fourth and long, or it was just a fourth down. I can't remember what the distance was, but it was a fourth down. Higgins rolls out and to his right and sort of like a rugby style type of punt. And man, there's literally nothing. And you know, if he's got green, he's going to run. You're most likely not gonna catch up to him. So my first question there being, did you guys plan that, or was that kind of like once he rolled out and saw all that space, he decided to take off? And I'll ask you about the safety punt in a moment.
Yes, that was definitely a plan of ours. Like that, is an option that you can have on that. And if in the moment that it's sniffed out, you could just go ahead and kick it. You know, like we caught them a little off guard there. They were had some personnel things that they were going through. There was a returner of theirs that was not out that it usually is, and it's one of their top receivers. He was talking to a coach. He didn't have his helmet, so they got a new guy on, and they weren't really ready. We took off on our punt, and they all turned their backs, and it was a free 20 yards for Kylan.
Yeah, because like you said, and that could be dangerous too, because if it sniffed out, you can punt away, like you said, but that also could be detrimental sometimes, because we saw something very, very similar to that in the 6A state game this year, where it was blocked. It rolled out, same type of rugby style punt to the right.
8 minutes ago in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it was blocked. It was the crucial, it was the game.
Game up 10.
Berg the lead, I think, or maybe extended their lead, but took it right into the end zone.
They had just taken it, yeah. It was a big play.
Yeah, so we can see how detrimental that can be. And then, you know, let's talk about the safety punt here. You guys obviously get a false start there. You get the sack on Dawson, or he gets sacked, rather, I should say. But then, so you snap it into the end zone for Higgins, and one, how good, is that something you guys have been practicing? Like, because he did a very good job of tight-roping that sideline, making sure he didn't go out till the last possible moment he had to. I honestly think he probably couldn't even burn another second or two, but the guy was right up in them. Then he just kind of hops into the back of the end zone. Was that something you guys worked on, like intentional safeties like that through your special teams and whatnot? And then also, was that intentional to waste a lot more clock off and not give them as better as a chance to get a game would give them the leading score.
Yes. Now, the false start was on purpose. We wanted to make sure we got Kylan Moore into the end zone.
Yeah, I was going to say, was that another plan to get the direct snap into the end zone?
Yes, so that there was he didn't have as much space. You know, like it was already in the end zone. So we false start on purpose to put Kylan back there a little further. Then we the play, Coach Mello works on it with our punt team every other week. On 1 week on Thursday practices, he's working just regular in-game mechanics, deep in our own end zone. Every other week, the one that he doesn't, you know, one time he'll do it like it's a regular game. The other one he does it where we are going to do a safety on purpose because there were 9 of our 10 guys accomplished a task and are supposed to make sure they secure those blocks. And secure them is if you're holding, you're holding. If they throw a flag, then what if they were to accept the penalty, then we just wasted 20 seconds off the clock. Like if they declined that, they got to decline it so that they can get the ball back to take the safety as well. So they're going to decline it, but then if you score a touchdown on it, they got to accept the holding and then you get to redo it. So we are supposed to be secure our blocks very, very securely by holding. That's the one day that we all teach to hold.
Gotcha.
And if you watch the retake of that, the 9 of our 10 guys are doing a good job. And there's no flags on the field, but they are supposed to make sure Kylan can have as much time as possible. I would have loved to take all 13.9 seconds. Fair.
You almost did, too. What, you took off 9 or 8, was it?
He took off 9, and I would have been even happier. In my 22 years, I've been practicing that on every other Thursday, and that's the first time I've got to run it.
Yeah, and then one really quick question here right before the first segment here ends. You guys did a really good job of containing their star running back, Al Gooden. How important was that you didn't have him going and have him, because we've seen him just incredible stats last game, incredible stats throughout the season. I mean, the LC fans had the signs or whatever with his face and the merchandise of him.
He's
the star player over there. So how important was that to regulate him?
And I hope his heart's all right. I think I heard maybe he got a little dinged up.
We saw on the sidelines he had like a little ice pack around his left knee.
I hope he's okay. Everything's fine. And he can finish out and make a run in the playoffs, but great family here in the Indianapolis area. You probably called a lot of Coach Golden's games in the past. So did a nice job. But our defense is stringing some stops together. I'm pretty happy with that side of the ball right now.
Awesome, awesome. That'll wrap up the first half of Inside Ben Davis Football.
Yeah, one thing I know, Coach Gooden, those were some impressive suits that he used to wear. Had to be tailored.
Oh, yeah.
Because Coach Gooden is a big man.
Got to look good. Got to look good, play good.
Al Gooden, the former head coach there at LC. Legend, but his grandson doing great things as well, and he plays basketball too.
Yes, he does.
All right, well, time for our first break here on Inside Ben Davis Football. Now back to Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by Bear Realtor. Welcome back to Inside Ben Davis Football on Indy's Giant 90.9. Shout out to Chuck Bear, as always, for his support of the program. And Friday night, the Giants get the North Central Panthers under a new coach this year, Colin Colfer. So take it away, Bryson.
Yeah, I'll go right into it. You know, you guys have the same record there at 2-6. How is that kind of playing into this game a little bit? Because you haven't faced a lot, you know, really since the beginning of the season. You haven't faced a lot of, since that 0-0 game, that, you know, the neutral game. You guys haven't really played a lot of teams that had a similar record to you or whatnot it being. So how is that kind of playing? Because, you know, Center Grove was obviously undefeated when you played them. Carmel had, they're at up to 7 wins now. So these one-loss teams or these two-loss teams or, you know, in Center Grove's team, which I know they do have that one loss now in the season, until you play them, those undefeated teams. How does that kind of play in now to having a similar record as a team? Does it change at all, or do you approach it the same, and how do you go about that?
Well, like we did, we ended the show last week with, I got the parody out there, is there's even at 2-6, North Central's good. Like they said, there were some games that they let get away from them, so there's a lot of good football around here. So if we were to underestimate them or take them lightly, then that would be the worst thing we could do right now before going to the playoffs.
Yeah, and I mean, I do want to, because we mentioned it, it doesn't matter what the team record is. They could have 0 wins for all we know. They heat up right at the perfect time. They can make a state run or whatever the case may be. And, you know, we see it all the time with those teams that start to get hot and whatnot. And speaking of the playoffs upcoming here, what is kind of the, in this last game of the regular season, what are the main couple of things that you're looking at from your team on both sides of the ball and these last couple of practices of the regular season? What are you looking at the most in leading into the playoffs? Because you guys did draw Avon. You'll face them on Halloween, which last time you guys played Avon on Halloween at Avon, it snowed. So
maybe, oh, is that right?
Yeah. Maybe you get another snow game. I don't think
2013?
It was much.
2014.
I didn't think it's, what'd you say, like two, like inch and a half or something?
It was like 0.01, but
0.01.
I remember I posted the picture on either Twitter or Instagram, and Coach Kirshner came in, which is so funny because he'll come in as Terry Lee, which is his wife, Terry Lee Kirshner. He'll come in her account. He said, and I can hear him say it, couldn't kick extra points that day because of the wind. Crazy night, Coach K.
Hey, I guess that's actually a good question.
Yeah, you would kick you'd kick into that wind, and the wind was coming due out of the north and going north there on that field. Or is it east-west?
That's an east-west one, isn't it? Well, that one's a north-south field. That's
north-south field. Coming directly north, you couldn't kick.
Yeah, we won 14-0 that night because we played you guys in regionals the next week. They beat us 40-36 out here.
So, yeah. With Reese Taylor.
Correct. Yeah, you threw it to Story Emerson.
No, I'm thinking 2014.
Chris that was, Evans.
And you guys hit a 50-yard field goal in that game, didn't you?
Hit the crossbar. Skyler Murray did.
Yep. When you were at Warren, once again.
But I do remember the snow game when you guys played Avon. We played LC that night, and I kid you not, every time LC got the football, the snow came down, and they were the biggest flakes. And then every time our offense had the football, like I was in the huddle tent like, or with the defense, and I was like, man, it's not snowing anymore. And then our defense would go back out there, LC's offense, and then here come the big snow. They got that was not a good night for snow.
And just what I remember about that night is we were up in the visitor press box there at Avon, which is not heated. So I just remembered my
freezing.
My toes and my fingers.
Yes.
I couldn't feel them.
Well, that was I was in short sleeves that night. I was happy. Now, can you guys just imagine it snowing in the next 2 to 3 weeks here in Indiana? I don't see it today.
I don't see that.
Well, honestly, knowing our state, who knows? Knowing our state, it goes from 60 to 20 and snowy.
It was 82 at practice today. But
Coach kind of turning back to North Central on Friday night. You look at them, Coach Colin Colfer coming in, his first season up there. He's made some progress. I know last year Coach Hart made some progress too, even though it didn't really show up in the wins and losses. Kind of, sort of, maybe the same thing. They've been in a lot of games. For example, I think it was 7-point game at the half with LC. I mean, they've been in some games and then struggled in the second half. I think that's kind of been what has troubled them this year. But when you look at North Central, they're scoring more points than they have in the last couple of years. Still, defense needs to come along, but you can see some signs of progress there. And obviously, they've won two games, which snapped their long losing streak. Now, what they want to do is probably win a Mick game, because I believe they've lost 20 in a row, if my fingers and toes are accurate, what I have left from that Avon game. I believe they've lost 20 in a row over the last few seasons in the Mick. So you obviously want to keep that going, but that's probably what they want to kind of turn around.
For sure. I get it. And who'd they draw? They drew Decatur in the playoffs. Yeah, LCL and drew each other. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they drew Decatur. And Decatur better not take them lightly. Same with us. Like Decatur, I know, is a 5A program that's helped with success. And so if North Central would have looked down upon them, then that's going to get ugly. Like Decatur belongs up here. They're good enough to be up here, and they are going to make some noise in that sectional. So same thing with North Central. Like if that Decatur were to take them lightly and overlook them, well, it's almost identical twins. There's some really good talent over there on the North Central side. They got some speed. They got a brother combination at these some brothers that are running back and a receiver that are, you can tell they're both fast. They are brothers that are with, they came out of the womb with speed. So these guys are electric, and quarterback's playing well. He's just, if he's missed, he's just barely missed. They got some talent on that team.
And at times, and I'm sure you've seen it on the film, they just have really struggled, I think, on the especially on the offensive line play. I know I was watching the Lawrence Central game, and there was one play I felt really sorry for the quarterback where, I mean, just he's, and you know how pesky LC can be. You just played him with their defensive line, but he just had four guys in his face, and he's trying to do something and goes down. He just looks over at the sideline, and he's so frustrated. So you know that they're close.
Oh, they're close.
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure. They're right. They a lot of juice with this system. They got a lot of juice with the program. They built a whole new stadium. They got the Paul Logan Field House. Tennis courts are updated. You know, not as if they needed them. They're already nice over there in the first place. But they did a great job hosting the Boys and Girls State Track and Field State Championship. And they got themselves some wins. You know, they beat Brebeuf, they beat Harrison, and they have had some tighter mid games and tighter games so far this regular season. And if it's something that we were to overlook them, we'll be the first ones to take the loss to them. We better not do that on Friday night.
Yeah, and we got sidetracked there with the weather and kind of skipped over my question about the weather's more important. But
an awesome night.
Night. That'll lead into my next question after I ask this one again. But what are you looking for here just before the playoffs, like in these games and whatnot?
We got to continue on. We're getting some stops right now. And it's nice. We had some two coverage breakdowns there late in the game, but it was nice for us to string some stops together. The score doesn't look like it against Carmel, but the way that the defense played in that second quarter, most of that game, a lot of the points where we gave them, not cliche that our defense made a mistake and we gave it to them. No, they were getting it in some shooting range, or our defense was on the field a lot. But there were a lot of, we are starting to figure out the connection of pieces at the different levels, and they're only going to get better on defense. So we're starting to figure that side out. That's going to make it scary in the playoffs.
Carmel had to try a couple field goals there.
Correct.
Long field goals.
And then they did two of them, and then another one day there was a offsides, but they went for it on 4th and 6. We got that stopped. Then gave them the ball back, and then we strip sacked, so we got the ball back. We were getting stops. And so it was nice to see that against LC. The one score that they had the first half was within shooting range. We gave them the ball on the 4-yard line, so that was our first score. Not happy with the other ones. They were late in the game or half, but it was nice to see. For the most part, we are getting stops on defense and getting our offense right back on that field.
Yeah, 100%. This is the best time of the year, these last couple of games, to build the momentum if you didn't really have any to start out with at the beginning. And going back to, obviously you guys play Avon, the Halloween snow game. Do you guys, because I'm interested, I just like to get looks into, I played soccer, but just getting looks into different sports practices. Do you guys practice, especially in football, because it is such a big part of the game, obviously basketball and stuff, indoors and all that, but do you practice different sorts of however weather may be. And also with the case, like, forecast could totally lie. Like, maybe it says it could be rain, they don't get an ounce of rain. But do you maybe, let's say it is, like, says 90% chance to rain this Friday. Do you practice? Do you wet the balls? Do you, like, what is the case there? If it's going to be a snow game, how do you warm up for those and whatnot and weather? Because this time of the year is when it starts to get a little rainy. And obviously, you know, we saw in 2014 with the snow. But how do you guys practice for the different types of weathers and whatnot?
Well, we don't have to worry about being on grass right now. Like with Cathedral down to 5A, we don't have to worry about that. So if there were any chances of playing at Cathedral and it being on Arlington's grass field, then we would, any type of rain during the regular season, during the practice, we would head up there. We have not had that much rain at all to affect any of our practices.
Yeah, no.
I saw Kyle Nunrup's tweet recently that said this might be the, or he wrote it in the Indy Star, that this might be the nicest weather season that he can remember ever. Like every Friday night, we might have been above 90 twice, but they've all been about 80. Like, they've been very, very nice, at least here in Central Indiana. So yes, if there is a strong chance of rain on a Friday night, we would definitely make sure that we have our footballs are wet. However we do that, if you soak them and waterlog them, that's about, I've seen coaches try to do that, but it's more just the, if you could replicate it as similar to Friday night as possible, yes, our guys will be ready. And then for temperature-wise, the huddle tent will be something that is about 55, 60 degrees in there. It'll have warmth. And then I will always make sure, especially perimeter players, and Coach Mr. Easter, you just said a second ago with your fingers and toes in that press box, I will make sure our line, yeah, every football player's digits are fine. Like, you got your hand warmers on top of your toes. I don't want to hear anything about, like, oh, that's just being soft. That thing, if your toes go, I don't care what human it is. So we make sure that our guys have something on top of their toes and on the back of their gloves, so their fingers and toes are fine.
Yeah, it's a little hard to exactly simulate whatever that might feel like, but definitely interested in getting a little inside look there. So that's cool. And then, so you, like you said, you know, you guys had quite a lot of chippiness, might even be an understatement, last game against LC, especially in the last couple of halves there, whether it was some unnecessary roughness, not just on you, both ways as well, a lot of unnecessary roughness, a lot of trash talking from, you know, sideline to sideline, player to player. How can you, first of all, I guess this is kind of goes back to our last segment a little bit, but How do you kind of talk to your team after something like a chippy game like that? And how can you try to make sure that a similar thing doesn't happen in the future for obviously this game against NC and then obviously just in the playoffs as well?
For the most part, you got to know the temperament of your guys too. If there are some guys that you understand that may not respond very well in situations like that, you don't want to put them anywhere that would put them at risk. And so on kickoff was one of them, and that's a play that if you have any players that have a temperament that could go, usually the younger player, our juniors and seniors have a different type of maturity and composure to them, if they've been around our program for a while. Each one of them seemed to happen on their sideline. Nothing was a problem on our sideline but the whole night, so it was odd that, 53 and a third yards away, every time a tackle came out on our sideline, it seemed to be normal and fine, and no flags and no commotion. But, it wasn't overly pleased that had to be on the other side over there. And I thought our guys actually did a great job of taking care of themselves and getting out of the situations. There were some things that were very dangerous over there. And I thought our guys did actually a pretty good job. There were some things we pointed out on film that we were disappointed about. But for the most part, one player, he could have had any more. His hands were behind his hamstrings, so I got trying to make sure he could get himself out of that situation. So they weren't perfect. There were some things we noted and just saw, that's not, it's not worth it. There was one player who got a little chirpy that the next play he gave up the touchdown. So, the football gods got him. it was no moment of what he was doing that was worth what he was, it was just more head nod than anything else, but it wasn't worth it. And so that was a little slap on the wrist moment. Football gods got him, so he understands that they'll find you in this game. So
yeah,
none of that.
Little karma there, and then
for sure.
And then also, I on the same wavelength there. How frustrating is it, kind of as a coach, if you see that stuff that the other sidelines being chippy, and maybe the refs aren't kind of doing anything about that? How can you kind of control yourself? Obviously, the maturity level and stuff. But
well, I thought the refs did a very good job with this Friday night.
Yeah,
they, at least they. you know, I thought they did a great job of bringing a game back. I've never really seen it before. Usually when you watch a basketball game or a youth league game, once it starts to, you can kind of feel the tension brewing. Usually the refs don't do a great job of zapping it out. They add to it or they ignore it too long. I thought on Friday night the guys did a good job of getting that game back on focus.
Yeah, and one of my final questions here is going to be, you're probably going to have some starters back this Friday.
I don't know.
I don't know how many exactly. I don't know how many you want me to spoil that you're getting back or whatnot. But how is that going to play
into the
key factor? Yeah, we know zero.
Don't worry. When we get off air, you may learn some more. Go see.
Yeah.
It could affect us. There's depth, though, that we've developed. So,
how does that help out as well? Just knowing everyone's comfortable with each other, whether it's whether it's Gabe or Kenneth in at quarterback or whatever the case may be. Everyone has kind of this. Yeah, true. Or just everyone has this kind of connection with each other that they feel comfortable with. And obviously, we saw it on Friday, looked like Kenneth and Davis had no problem chemistry-wise. And obviously that helps as a quarterback, too. Correct. If you have a favorite receiver that you can trust and might not even be for the season, but maybe just that game, that certain receiver's on fire, they're catching every and anything.
Well, it'd be nice to have a few guys back, a few options, not all the ones that we mentioned earlier at the beginning of this segment. Not all of them are back, but we got a few of them that are starting to make their way back into the lineup. So we'll see which ones are able to dress here for our final home game of the regular season.
Well, glad to hear that. Any thoughts before your last regular season game of the 2025 season?
Well, it's the fall break coming, so we might as well have fun together as a school, a little celebration before all the teachers take off. Might as well come out, watch the game, and the students before 2 weeks off. Might as well come on out Friday night.
Yeah, 100%. Good luck on Friday, Coach.
Appreciate it, guys. Good luck to you guys.
Looks like it should be great weather for Friday night football. 6 o'clock pregame here on Giant 90.9, 7 o'clock kick. We got an all-student broadcast on Friday night.
Yes, we do. First time since Center Grove.
Mr. Bryson Hill and Mr. Michael Balt. So stay tuned. And one more coverage this week. Thanks for listening to Inside Ben Davis Football.
This has been a presentation, the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.